This is Burn the Ship. We are recording. This is a podcast where we really dive in and figure out about, you know, what makes entrepreneurs tick. You know, what made you take that leap? And, you know, we want to find out what you do, but we also really want to focus on why you do what you do and how you do it and what we can do to kind of bring value to that situation. So go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell us about your business and your organization or your networking group as well.
Absolutely. Well, thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here. So my name is Esther Deitch. I'm the operations manager at our company. It's called RCS Professional Services. We're what's called an IT MSP, which stands for Managed Service Provider. And we outsource IT and cybersecurity services, managed services, to other small businesses. Both we're based in New York Tri-State. We have an office in Manhattan, as well as Atlanta, Georgia, where I believe you guys are as well. So that's most of my day. And then I also do teach part-time at a local university called Lackawanna.
Where is Lackawanna at?
So that's actually in Scranton, Pennsylvania, where I was born and partially bred until I was 16.
Okay.
But right now we're all remote. So
you can, and you're in New York right now?
So this second, I'm actually in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
I've been moving around a bit as I've been working remotely. And that's one of the beauties of working in an IT company. It's easy to do.
For sure. Now, when you're talking about managed IT, what got you into that business?
Honestly, an ad on Craigslist. I've been with the company, I think it was just my seventh year anniversary. So I studied social work for my graduate program, and I started working part-time at RCS as a student, not thinking too much of it, to be honest, at the time. But it didn't take me long to realize that I was surrounded by great people and great leadership and a great culture, great clients. I can't stress that enough. So I just decided to stick with the company. And I'm every day I'm blessed and glad that I did, because I really love it here.
That's awesome. And I see that you started a networking group, and we're going to get to that in a minute. But who do you feel like has been your biggest mentor in your professional career and even before that to get you to where you are today?
I've been blessed to have so many amazing people that I look up to, some that I speak to on a day-to-day and some that I just watch from afar. there's so many. I don't even know where to start. One that I always mention was my supervisor at my internship during my social work program. Even though it was a different industry in social services, a lot of what I learned and gained from watching her in action has been able to be translated to what I'm doing now. So that was one. And then I have a couple of others. One man named Joe Sprung, who I met through, I don't even know if it was personal life years ago, and we reconnected a few years back. And he's started an organization actually just for female entrepreneurs. So I've been able to help him with that. And just to name a few, there's so many. I can't possibly name all of them or I wouldn't do justice, but...
So was it character? Was it work ethic? Was it how they treated people?
I think it's a combination of the all of them. I guess for me, what I look for in a role model and somebody that I hope to be like is a combination of passion, heart, but also expertise. So when I find somebody that I believe has all of those, the way that they treat people being paramount, but then also the skills and expertise and education to back it up, for me, unfortunately, I'm somebody who wants it all. And in mentorship, no different. I look for people who, you know, have that balance between care and concern for people and community, but also the expertise and education behind them, which I also really value. So I think that's really what I look for. And then humility as far as a trait.
Cool. Yeah. Well, I'm excited, to kind of be a new addition to your network. I've gotten to take a part in your networking group. I've got some, some incredible connections from there. I just had a couple of calls, three or four calls just this week with, people that I've connected from there. But tell me about kind of how that was born and also what kind of impact that's had on your business.
Absolutely. And we're so thrilled to have you. We look for people like yourselves who are interested in building meaningful connections as a way of growing their business. So it actually began, Luke is a friend of mine who I also met through networking just years back, and we became friends. He's a great guy, as you know. And he called me up right at the beginning of the pandemic when everyone was still sort of not sure what the future held in any which way. And there was a lot of uncertainty. And he said, "Hey, I was thinking maybe we should put together a call and just get together and sort of offer support and just see, like, what are we doing? How are we going to proceed? What is our business going to look like today?" He said, "Do you want to be part of it?" And I said, "Of course I do. Like, if we could help people and you're leading it, so I know it's going to be a great gig, and sure, let's do it." I said, "I don't know what time I could commit, but I'll send it out. You put together the link. I'll send it out to my people. You send it out to yours, and let's pick a day and let's do it." said, okay, sure. So we did. We both sent out one email to each of our friends and contact lists. We had like 300 people or some crazy number on that call. I think part of it was that it was pre virtual events being a thing. Mm-hmm. And everybody just wanted to see what they could even do. And the call was a bomb. It completely crashed. If you want to talk about failed business ventures, that would be one perfect case example. But I do think that was sort of the roots and the beginning of what is now known as the In This Together Roundtable, and has since evolved into a weekly call in which Luke and I think what people love about it, what makes it sort of unique from the thousands of other opportunities to network out there, is that it's not run by a particular entity. It's two of us that just really, our motivation and our goal and our agenda, if you'll say, is to help people. So I think that attracts a certain type of person. And I think that with that always being at the forefront of our mission, it drives the right kind of networking. So as far as impact on our business, it's given me lifelong friendships. And there's more mentors in that group, actually, that I should have started by saying than I've ever met anywhere else. I've done so much networking in my past, but never have I built relationships. And I haven't even met half these people live. Sure. I don't know if I ever will, and it doesn't really matter. I think that the help each other mindset has transcended geography and physical distance. So that's sort of some of the impact it's had. And we've also been lucky enough to do business from it, sure, which I would say this is the first time I've ever done real business from my networking. It's always been about building relationships, and it still is. But to actually get real business opportunities from it too is tremendous. So I'm just hoping that everybody else feels.
But at the end of the day, I mean, you're in networking groups to do business. And yes, you have to build the relationship to build the trust to get business. But if you're in some kind of, whether it be face-to-face or virtual group, if you're in there for a year or two even, and you don't get any business, do you think it's worth staying?
I believe that building relationships is always worthwhile with good people. To me, that's like number one. It's the reality is, and I've learned, like I said, I have a social work background. And in the beginning, people would ask me, and I wasn't so sure of the answer of the correlation between social work and business and social work fit into what I'm doing. And the answer is that if you really look at things, in my opinion, relationships are at the core of every single thing in this world. So in my opinion, building relationships is the way to go, no matter what you do and where you are and where you are in life. Doesn't matter what age, doesn't matter what your business is. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, that's sort of how I got into this sort of sales marketing type role here. I was doing the networking first and then sort of translated that into business opportunities, because I realized that I could do more than build good relationships. I could also help this incredible company and organization grow. So why not do both, like you said? But I believe that it's like, you know, a lot of BNI and other groups have this mentality of like givers gain. I don't know if it's as much, if I believe so much in like givers gain in this transactional sense, as much as like every relationship and everything that you do for others will come back to you, but that's not the reason why you do it, you know? So I'm not sure if I answered your question, but I definitely think that that you can do both. And it's sure, like you could be successful and still be nice. People have always questioned that.
So. No doubt. And first off, it depends on what you're selling. If you're in a business, to me, in my opinion, if you're in a business networking group, whether it be face-to-face or virtual, the goal is to get business, out of it. Now, if your average ticket is $30,000 and that's what it costs, that's the sticker on it, then you might have to wait around a little bit longer to get it. But if you're selling boxes of candles and you're not selling boxes of candles in the first 3 months, then you're not doing something right within the group. And it probably is not your group, and you need to find another one, because there's a lot of them out there. Absolutely. And not all people mesh. So when I tell my guys at the MP group is give it the opportunity it needs, meet people, be kind to people. But you know, if it's a room full of real estate agents, that just doesn't help the B2B world. So you got to find yourself another networking.
Absolutely.
Group.
And maybe I didn't give that enough credit. I'm so glad you brought that up. But obviously being with the right, building relationships with the right people, mm-hmm, and that word right, you know, depends on so many things, like all the things you're mentioning and more, then you'll reap the right results. You know,
for sure. No matter what. And I tell them, and I did it too, just because you go to a group and there's 7 people in it doesn't mean the next week there might be 37 people in it. Cause see, you have to kick the rock over a few times. And go, okay, absolutely, well, this is a good place for me. It's a good place for my business. I feel like the team is meshing, and we're going to be able to pass business to each other.
Don't get me wrong. Our group is not for everybody, and that's fine. Mm. You know, there's no pressure, no stress. Mm. If people are finding, and we're going to close it down when nobody's finding it beneficial. Like, you know, we're not married to it, and you know, it's hopefully filling a need now. And when the time comes to switch that to something else to fill a different need, we'll be there. So,
how many people are you averaging per week?
So it's anywhere between 35 and 60. I would say normally we get 40 to 45. The nice thing is there's a couple of, I call them repeat customers, which gives it that like flavor of home. But at the same time, we all want to meet more people. So there's always a new group of people, which is great. It just depends on the week. But again, we're there as long as others are there. So it's more about quality for us than quantity, no doubt.
For sure. For sure. And is it more of a, you know, you're in the managed IT, so that's total B2B for the most part. Do you feel this is more of a B2B group, or do you have some B2C people in there?
Absolutely. It's definitely catered to B2B. That's sort of the focus. And most people in the group are, we never say no to anybody. I've invited and have direct competitors in there. I don't call them competitors. I think there's always opportunities for partnerships. So I don't even like to refer to them that way, but just for the sake of this conversation, I do. And we invite everybody. That's also what makes it unique. And also lends itself to a certain type of person. But it's mostly B2B just because that is our focus.
Sure.
And, I would say that's sort of what it's been. So, yeah.
Cool. You got something?
Yeah. I wanted to ask about kind of the chronology of the networking event. So as you started out, and you guys were kind of one of the, you know, similar to us, it's kind of one of the first players in town as far as a virtual networking event goes. What were some of the challenges that you guys experienced early, and what were those, you know, numbers of people that you were seeing, and how did you kind of improve your process and level out?
Sure. That's a really good question. So I think that I would say for sure, just adjusting to an online format. I know I personally love like crowds. I love to be in places where I can really, I'm an energy person, and I'm still learning how to adapt energy feel to a virtual environment. So I would say that just translating into a call and building a community virtually is a lot of the same principles, but maybe the application looks a little bit different. And just learning that, I think I'm lucky that I work in a tech company. But even for me, there was a learning curve with the technology and figuring out how to make that work in a way that added to the community building, you know, rather than just attracting. So I think that for a lot of the members, just learning the technology and helping people figure it out was definitely a bit of a challenge, and finding the right platform. But again, I was lucky that we're in a technology company, so I had a lot of resources, and I try to give that to others.
So
as well.
You're approaching your 1 year, right, of meetings?
Yeah, just actually tomorrow night we have a 1 year celebratory, cool. Which is crazy and a little sad because it's still virtual. But
so March of last year, you go to plan your first meeting. How many people were on that call that failed, and what technology were you using there?
That's a good question. So there were a few hundred, I would say. I don't know the exact number. I can look it up. But I will say that the call after that, it went drastically down because a lot of people were like, this was a mess, which it was. You know, we're never coming back. So maybe that's also how we got the best. You know, we got the troopers who were like, so what? Just one failure. You know, next week will be better. So the next call, there were like 10, but then it just blew up from there. And the technology we used that first time, I don't know if it was a Zoom or something. I can tell you that now we use GoToWebinar from LogMeIn. That's what we use internally, and it's been great. Oh, and as far as challenge, you reminded me too. Something people hate about our networking events is that you don't have video. We do not have video. And sometimes I think when you're new, it could be challenging to learn who everybody is by just their voice. I actually think there's an asset to that because I think that people tend to connect with people that look like them or seem that similar to them. And I think that just having voice actually breaks down a lot of barriers and enables people to connect with others who they may otherwise not approach. So I think for me, that's been one of the strengths of COVID. And I love that. Like, I love that I have no idea what people look like, and I'm just connecting based off of what they give off in their words. But that's definitely, I would say, a challenge. Some people feel really turned off by that, and they come and they're there's always, you know, a few people who rather be on video. And I totally understand that. But there's reasons why we do just voice. And in the one-to-ones, we encourage everybody to use video. And in our anniversary 1 year event, that's one of the reasons we're doing an anniversary event, to give everybody a chance to finally see the people that they've been, connecting with over the whole year, which is crazy.
So tell me a more and kind of right along those lines of kind of ironing out the kinks of those. That's a recurring theme that we've kind of talked about in the nonprofit space. Tell me about some of your experience there and how that's impacted the way that you go about your business and your networking events there. I know you've had a big hand in the not-for-profit space for a while.
Yeah, thanks so much for asking. I'm super passionate about my nonprofit work, which is how you know about it, even though I work full-time profit. A big piece of my life, a big piece of my life is my volunteer work. And that's actually what led me to get my social work degree. People always think I never wanted to have a career in it. I just wanted to help people as much as possible. And I felt that my social work degree would help me do that in a better way. So I've been involved in all sorts of organizations, and last week I actually spoke at one that I got to volunteer for called Society of Women Coders. It's an organization that leads mission trips to other parts of the world to teach coding and tech subjects to otherwise uneducated in that way children. So I got to volunteer with them a couple years back, thankfully pre-COVID, and flew to Belize to teach a coding camp to high school students with that organization. And I still am involved with, I keep up with some of the kids from there. So that was one of my volunteer efforts that I led. And I wrote a little article on our website, little plug, you can check it out, about my experiences. There's pictures there. It was co-led by the Belize government, and it was absolutely amazing. And some of the other work that I'm involved with, I did, this wasn't volunteer, it was part of my internship in school, but I used to work with at-risk youth in a New York City public school that was labeled as like at-risk. So a lot of my middle school students were part of the correctional system or otherwise impacted by different scenarios at home. And that definitely changed my life. In a real way, I realized so much. I thought I was grateful for what I had before, but then I met some of these children who started out at such a sort of disadvantage than maybe some myself or some of my peers. And so it really led me to look inside myself and sort of see what things I can improve, just like I was asking them to. So that was actually, it was back in, I don't know, 10 years ago maybe, but at the time I went through like a real health transformation. And I think that my students definitely gave me the passion and also motivation to like make a change in my own life as far as my own health. So that was like a very transformative year, I would say. And part of that was my supervisor, who I referenced earlier, who really was like one of the best leaders I've ever been privileged to interact with, who really pushed me to like use what I had and my strengths to make a difference, which is really what every leader should be pushing their team to do, not to push their own agenda, but to look inside themselves, see what they're good at, and then go out and use that to change the world. So that's sort of, I guess, what drives all my volunteer work. You know, I feel like if you have more, it's just so you can give more. Mm-hmm. There's a little quote, with more power comes greater electricity bill. You know, if you have more, it's only so you can give more. And so not everybody has a lot, but if you do, there's a reason you have it. It isn't to keep it for yourself. So, you know, I know I've been blessed with a lot, but I hope that in doing so, I could at least give more to people. So I'm happy to do that when I can. So
do you think that given mentality stems back from your social work background?
You know, it's really, no one's ever asked me that on a podcast, and they really should. because the truth is that I grew up, and I was, again, blessed to grow up in a home where giving was like part of, I never thought about it, honestly, until I later in life when I was a teenager, and I realized that I wasn't the only one saying, oh, how can we make a difference today? Like, I thought that was a given, that everybody wakes up in the morning and they're like, how can we change the world? and I did found my own non-for-profit, my first one, when I was 16, not legally. It was legal with help because I couldn't legally do it. But when I was 18, it became mine. And I founded a few since then, one that I'm still very involved with to help elderly people living at home and shut-ins. But I think that I always, like, my mentality was like I said, I just woke up in the morning and I was like, what am I doing today to leave an impact? Like, I mean, it's almost like selfish because I get satisfaction. I don't feel good living if I'm not doing for others. It's just how I was built. And that's another blessing that I know that I have to use in the right way, because not everyone is blessed like that. Some people don't feel the need to give. I do. And my family, I think it comes from my family, I would say, like, I used to feed nursing home residents growing up as a high school student. My principal did that in this community here. It was normal. That was what people did. Kids on Saturday, instead of going to the movies, they would go to the nursing home and feed the elderly. Like, I had training to do that when I was 5. So I think it's part of built into who I am. And again, I don't take that for granted. I hope I do the same for my kids and teach them the same thing, but I know not everybody is blessed that way, but I was. So I think it started before my social work days, and that, propelled me to get the social work degree.
Sure. So. Do you have kids?
Not yet.
Cool.
Not yet, but I'd like to.
But they're going to be ass kickers in social, though. That's for sure.
We're going to try. Hey. I'm hoping I can find the other half who balances me out, but we'll see.
What does Esther do for fun?
That's a good question.
She's not feeding people, saving people's lives, going to Belize, helping basically third world countries write code, and then also signing deals with managed IT.
Mm-hmm. She's got plenty of time left over.
That's it.
I love to travel. Believe it or not, I'm really good at spending money. I love to travel.
Oh, well, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I find shopping very relaxing. Woe to my better half. Maybe that's why I haven't found him yet. I always warned them before. I'm like, you're going to spend money. Get ready. Now you know why I studied business first. No joke. I was like, I'm good. I got my business degree. Now I can go pursue my passion, which was social work, which we all know there's no money in. And my dad always says that was an expensive passion. And I have to agree. But I love to travel. I love to work out. I love sports. I used to go to baseball games a lot growing up.
Are you a Philly fan? Are you a Pirates fan? Are you a New York Mets fan?
You guys have all the good questions.
Or are you a New York Yankees fan?
There's like six or seven choices.
Milwaukee too, right there.
You could be a Milwaukee fan. Yeah.
Who else? You know what's funny?
It could be an any sock.
My nephew is named after Tom Brady. So I'm sort of all over the place.
Oh my God.
Sorry.
All right, bye.
No. Tom Brady is a wonderful example of a lot of things that do really well, just not for us.
Yeah, let's move on. So baseball, that's where I went because I knew what she was going to say. Yeah. On the flip side,
we don't talk football with anybody from the Northeast. Mm-mm. We know better.
Phillies fan, though, if you're wondering.
You're a Phillies fan? Yeah. So that's in our division. So you'll have to come down to the Battery and watch a game.
Yeah.
Absolutely, I would love that.
The Braves did a really awesome job with their new stadium and the Battery outside. It's really nice to come down. And I won't even make you go to a homeless shelter and feed homeless that weekend. You could just stay here and have fun.
A little fun. Volunteering is fun. I'm just putting it out there. People, it's so underrated.
It's just a different, but it is a different, for sure, but it's a different type of fun.
Absolutely.
You know, it's not a hot dog and a beer in baseball, but it's certainly... you know, it fills your heart and fills your soul.
Totally. It's a deeper level of fun, I would say. But also, I watch a lot of Netflix, so I don't always do meaningful things. Trust me.
What do you watch?
You should watch my subscription. They should pay me. That's a good question. All sorts of
we need sponsorship.
You could shop. You could shop more if Netflix paid you. That's for sure.
We should incorporate that into every podcast. Yeah. Ask everybody what they watch on Netflix and reach out to Netflix 20 podcasts from now.
There you go. What do you watch?
Really? All sorts of things. I bet you're going to be shocked to know I like psychological thrillers.
Have you seen Mindhunter?
Ooh, Mindhunter's awesome.
Yeah. Really anything. I'm all over the place. So I like reality shows. Mindless stuff. Really mindless stuff. You'd be surprised. You'd be really surprised. For a deep person, I certainly like. Same with books. Like any stupid romantic novels. If I want to lose myself, I can. Don't worry.
There you go. I'm not worrying about you. You're a well put together young entrepreneur. So and good to people. I can already tell. Mm-hmm. So look, we really appreciate you coming on. What I would like for you to do is tell us how we can get a hold of you. If we want to email you, if we want to go to your website, if we want to donate to one of your nonprofits, tell us how to get a hold of you.
Sure. So the easiest way is to go on our website. It's RCS, RomeoCharlieSamProfessional.com. You could email me. It's E and then my last name, DeuTsch at RCSProfessional.com. On all social media, we're at RCS Pro Services, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Personally, I have like 4 Instagrams, which we could talk about on another episode. So actually maybe 5. I don't know. So I'm definitely out there.
How many think you've got on your phone?
I have 5.
Five.
You have 5 what?
Instagrams.
Jesus.
We should talk. A couple of my other passion projects. But yeah, I love building community and networks. So I try to have different ones for different things. So you can find me. That's my point. That's why I say it. You can find me. I'm not hard to Google. I've hidden the criminal record, but no, I'm joking. So Don't search too deep.
It's not hidden. It's expunged. Okay.
If it's out there, Tristan's already got it pulled up on the computer.
You went through the right methods to get it, you know, put down.
Yeah. Right. No, I'm all over the place. So I love connecting. So I'm open to that. I love helping. So if I could help anyone in any way, whatever my projects are, I'm happy to do that. So
cool. Well, thank you for being on.
We do appreciate it.
Yeah. And I'll try to drop in on one of your virtual networking groups.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
I can't wait to keep, incorporating you into our network. That's something we're excited about. I mean, you're just the helpful mentality that you embody with yourself and your business, and a good cause that people can unite. That's something that we're always looking to add to our repertoire. So I'm going to continue to be present in your group as well as, you know, invite you to everything that we have going on. If you ever are here, we're more than happy to make some introductions for you and help you shake some hands and show you the city.
So much. Well, you got an office down here, so you can work down here.
I was there last year, but I have to come back. As soon as COVID, allows, I would love to.
No, COVID allows. Yeah. This is Georgia,
it's allowed,
baby.
As soon as you get here, it's allowed.
This is Georgia.
I was going to say, as soon as COVID allows, in our side of the world.
In Georgia, we didn't believe in COVID. So we were the last to shut down, first to open. So we definitely believe. I'm just kidding about that. But we're running as hard as any state that there is. So yeah, come on down.
Awesome.
10,000 baseball fans will be allowed in, and the bars will be full.
Amazing. I'm looking forward to it.
We'll have to see the data after.
Thank you so much.
See you, Esther. Thank you so much. Everybody out there, be kind to each other.
Thank you.
You too.